It is a pleasure to be back with you today. As you probably know, last week I was back in Maryland performing a funeral for a relative of mine. Actually, the funeral scripture lesson is the one that comes right before our gospel lesson today. And in fact, our gospel passage today does come at the tail end of one of my favorite passages to use for funerals. I love it so much, I suggest it to a lot of families. In fact, the last week I was asked to officiate at this funeral for my aunt, and this is the passage that I chose, this famous passage. It is a scene in which Jesus tells his disciples that his Father's house has many rooms. You probably recognize this. And that he, Jesus, is going ahead of the disciples in order to prepare a place for them, to prepare one of these rooms for each of them and for each of us. And the reason that this is a popular text for funerals is obvious. It reassures us all that Jesus thinks about each and every one of us individually. That he cares not just for humanity in general, but for each and every one of his followers. Jesus goes ahead of his Father to his Father's abode to specifically to make space for you and for me. But that passage and the story that follows in today's lectionary reading are more than simply a reassurance for those that have recently lost loved ones. As I have mentioned several times in the last few weeks, we are still in the Easter season. This is when we continue to celebrate the risen Lord, but before, for the most part, before we celebrate his ascension to the Father in heaven. And what that means is that we are in kind of an odd in-between time. We spent weeks and weeks preparing ourselves for Jesus' death and resurrection, and now that that has happened, we now are faced with the question, what next? Now that Jesus has come back from the dead, what happens after that? And in our passage today, Jesus, who in this story has not faced the cross yet, speaks about things that will happen after his death and resurrection. And so this story helps fill the gap between his resurrection and the ascension because it points forward to what he will do when he goes to be with the Father. And in funeral services, we tend to look at this first part of the story, the part in which Jesus promises that his Father's house is filled with all of these rooms. And we do that because during a funeral, we are focusing on the individual promise of salvation that Jesus offers to his followers. But today, we are looking at something slightly different. Today, we look at the second part of his promise, which points forward to what we will be doing over the next couple of weeks in our church services and our church liturgy. After his individualized promise of salvation and life after death, Jesus then goes on to say in verse 25 and 26 of our reading today, quote, "I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." And what's going on here is that Jesus is talking about two separate events that will shortly happen. First, he himself, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, will ascend to heaven, leaving the earthly plane for the time being, and join God the Father in heaven. This is a pretty incredible event that shows us the power of Jesus Christ and that he is indeed God. That's why he gets to go join God the Father, after all. And we'll be celebrating that this Thursday at the chapel in the woods at 7 p.m. I invite you all to come out for that. This event is when Jesus goes to the Father's house to prepare a place for us. The ascension of Christ is an event that demonstrates his love for us individually. But it also marks a time for the disciples when they lose their leader. Jesus leaves them, and that worries the disciples and scares what becomes the early church. Without Jesus, how will they face the trials that are to come? Without his guidance, his teaching, how can they even hope to face the difficulties that the devil will throw at them? How will Jesus' mission be able to truly succeed? But Jesus addresses this too. When he goes to be with the Father will send another, an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with the church and guide them. We'll celebrate this in 2 weeks on Pentecost when we read the story of this event actually taking place. But here Jesus simply promises that it will happen. And so once again in our story today, we are standing on the precipice of something great about to happen as we look forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit. But this text is also more than simply the coming attractions or the previews before the main event. Because in the same speech that Jesus promises that he is heading to the Father to prepare a place for us, and in the same breath that he promises the Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit, he states that the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And we'll talk more about the power of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, but for now, what Jesus says here is important. The Holy Spirit will teach us everything, and more importantly, will remind us of all that Jesus himself has said to us. The Holy Spirit will remind us of Jesus' teachings. The guidance of the Holy Spirit that the church has relied on for 2,000 years is in part a reminder of the words that Jesus has already spoken. And that brings to the forefront the other bold statement that Jesus makes in this passage. Jesus says, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home within them." Let's unpack that a bit. Those that love Jesus will keep his word, the word that the Holy Spirit reminds us of. And by keeping that word, will demonstrate that they do love Jesus. The Father will love those people, and then Jesus and God the Father will come to them and make their home within them. And remember that this comes on the tail end of Jesus declaring that he will go to the Father's home and prepare a place for us. Now he is saying that by following the words of Jesus, the Father and the Son will come and make their home within us. It's like my daughter said a few days ago, God lives inside us. So on the one hand, Jesus is going to God's heavenly abode where we cannot immediately follow, but where he will prepare a place for us. But on the other hand, whenever Jesus' followers follow his commands, he and the Father will dwell within that person and stack that on top of the Pentecostal promise that the Holy Spirit is sent to be our advocate and guide, and all of a sudden what we have is a pretty incredible melding of heaven and earth, and we and our actions are the meeting place between heaven and earth. The Trinitarian God breaks into the world through our actions of obedience. The very act of following Christ's words has the effect of God being present in this world because we become the dwelling place of God Almighty. Our passage in Revelation talks about this wild journey that the writer is taken on, in which he sees the new heaven and new earth and how the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven and melds with the earth below. And it talks about the awesomeness, the awe-inspiringness of that combination of heaven and earth. And we wait for that day when God's plan finally hits its climax and the heavens and the earth are renewed. But the promise of Jesus in our gospel passage is that we get a taste of that melding of heaven and earth whenever Jesus' faithful obey his words, because the Trinitarian God indwells those people, and that can change the world. Just ask Paul. Paul is a man who hears the words of Christ, Jesus, and obeys them. He started by persecuting the church, but when Jesus' words came to him, he became the single most important voice for Christ that the world has ever known. He wrote like half the New Testament, after all. But in our Acts passage today, Paul has a vision of a man in Macedonia. That's just north of Greece, by the way. And this man calls to Paul asking for help. And after having his vision, Paul immediately believes that it is a message from God telling him to go to Macedonia and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so without any hesitation, he and his entourage go to Philippi in Macedonia. And that's when it happens. He finds a woman by the name of Lydia and tells her about Jesus. And she and her household are baptized. They believe. Now, we don't know much about Lydia. She seems to be reasonably wealthy. She's a merchant of a rather rare and precious material, after all. But one thing that we do know about her is this. Lydia is the first convert from what we would now call Europe. This is the start of something big, and it marks a transition for Paul, his ministry, and the history of Christianity. It's no longer just a religion for the people in the vicinity of Jesus' homeland. Christianity is now a world religion. And of course, that means that without this event, Christianity would never have been the force that it is today. But even more important than that is the question, how did this happen? It happened because Paul listened to the word of Jesus. He was obedient to what the Holy Spirit taught him. He did what God asked of him. And for Paul and for Lydia, that meant that heaven and earth met. It meant that the Trinitarian God indwelled in them and in their lives. Because Paul loved Jesus, he heeded Jesus' words, and that changed the course of history by bringing a bit of heaven to earth. And now it is our turn. In a few weeks, we'll talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit, but the long and the short of it is this. We have the same Spirit with us today that Paul had all those years ago. And we have the same words of Christ today that he had. And we have the same command from Jesus to obey them that he had. And that is an every day of our life command. We are always to follow his commands. And that means giving up on our petty squabbles with each other. It means turning the other cheek to rudeness or anger. It means reaching out in love toward one another. It means sharing the gospel of Christ with those who have not heard it before and with those who need a reminder. It means bringing heaven to earth through our faithful actions, because Jesus' promise is sure and undoubtedly true. He has gone to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. But his other promise is equally true, that whenever we follow his commands in this world, we get a foretaste of that heavenly abode, because God dwells within us and within those actions. So come, let us bring heaven to earth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.